Seed Media brings to you God's Word, which is His comprehensive equipment for changing lives. May the Lord impact your heart as you encounter His Word. For further inquiry or counsel, contact Peace House, P.O. Box 971, Boko, Benue State, Nigeria. Telephone numbers 0703-036-3659, 0703-768-1198. Email address nsmedia@livingseed.org or visit our website at www.livingseed.org. Let us sit back and listen as the servant of God brings forth the word of life.
This morning, what has God called you unto as a young man? What unto what have we been called? The Bible says, where there is no vision, people do what? They perish. If a man does not know what is the goal that is set before him, he will likely dissipate. He will likely be diverted. He will likely be recruited for something useless, or because he does not know what was the glory that was set before him. So this morning, I want to deal with cultivating a lifelong vision, cultivating a lifelong vision, a sustainable vision that will become the guiding principle, the overriding factor, and the unbroken and unbreakable momentum for running. One of the things that I have been trusting God to do for you before you leave here, that He will give you a reason for living. You see, unless God gives you a reason for living, there's nothing anybody can do to sustain you from being diverted. Unless there's a vision that God will place on your heart, that you will begin to pursue even now as you are young. And people ask you, what do you hope to become? You don't blink your eyes. You know that there is a vision for living. So this morning, I want to be looking at cultivating a vision for living. Cultivating, developing, and building a vision for living. Many, many people grew old and they did not become anything tangible because they pursued nothing. There were people that did whatever came their way. There were people that got involved in anything that is around. So they are going nowhere particularly, so they went everywhere. They are doing nothing particularly, so they did everything. And you know what they said? The jack of all trades, the master of how many? Of none. So this morning, we want to look at building, a cultivating, a vision for living. And I'm going to begin by reading a few passages, and I will use illustration of some young people who had a vision for living and who pursued it until they became what God said about them. But for the take-off point this morning, I want you to turn to Jeremiah 29. Jeremiah 29. And in Jeremiah 29, I just want to read that as a general passage that should guide any young man who is putting his hand in the hand of the Lord. Jeremiah 29. If you already get to Jeremiah 29, I would like you to get down to verse 11. Verse 11 and verse 12 up to 13. But our particular emphasis is on verse 11, as the Lord will enable us. Are you in Jeremiah 29, verse 11? Are you there? Are you there? Alright. There are several versions in which I love to read it. So I will be asking if you have different versions, we read it. But the Old King James Version says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray to me, and I will hearken unto you. And you shall seek me and find me, when you shall search for me with all your heart." I wanted you to look at that scripture from a very critical perspective. Just come to think about it. You think God could be wasting his time taking care of you? Eh? Do you think God could be a foolish investor who will be putting a lot of resources into something that will not give him any result? Do you think God can do that? No. So that's the first thing I would like you to know. That God knows what he's doing about you. And the plans that God has for you, he knows it. And he said, "The plans I have for you, they are plans for good. Plans to prosper you, to bring you to prosperity and not disaster. Plans to give you a future." If there was no future, God shouldn't be doing this. And because God has plans for you, and these plans are plans for good and not for evil, they are not for disaster. Plans to give you a future that is exciting, a future that is presentable, a future that is glorious. God is committed unto a glorious future for you. One of the reasons why God comes to speak to a young man is because only the young has a future. Are you hearing me? Only the young has a future that you can work at. When a man has consumed 90% of his opportunity, or maybe 99% of his opportunities and privileges, what future there is for him to look except a fearful looking unto death? Because God has said, and there are three things I want to highlight there, because that is what will build into this message, cultivating, building a vision for living. The first thing I want to establish upon which we can cultivate a vision for living is God's commitment. If God is not committed to my life, then I cannot hope for a clear future. So when God said, I know the plans that I have for you. Plans for prosperity. I want all of you to underline that. Please underline it. This is God speaking. That He has plans for me. He has plans to bring me into prosperity and not to disaster. And that His plans is to give me a future that is presentable, that is glorious. A future that will bring excitement to my generation. A future that will bring glory unto God. And when God will have finished what He's doing with my life, people will say, thank God for this man. Thank God for this brother. Thank God for this woman. One of the things that I would like to say to you at this point, now, I say that, I'm still a young man, you know. You see, that's why I'm jumping. Because the future ahead of me far, far, far surpasses what I have seen before. God is speaking concerning me, and that has put me into a different mode. Whatever I have done in years past, whatever God has done with me, whatever people have said about me, is very infinitesimally small compared with what God is holding out for me. And that's what I am rooting for. That's what I am working at. That's what I am building for. That's what I am longing and preparing myself for a glorious future. That glorious future, listen, even though it will culminate in heaven, there will be a portion of it on earth. There will be a commensurate aspect of it in my generation. Are you understanding? Before we get to heaven, we will begin to experience the foretaste of that glory that God is speaking about. I know the plans that I have for you. But let me tell you a little story. Very short, because I really don't want to tell story. I want to get you to do something. Because after today, I'm trusting God that you will have a reason to live. Are you getting me? You may be in a class of 1,000 students or 500 students or 200 students, and they may be confused what they want to become. You will never be confused. You will stand out from among them because you will have a reason for living. And you will pursue it until it becomes a tangible reality in your hand in the name of Jesus Christ. When I was at your point, I don't want to say when I was young, because I'm still young. I really don't want to grow old. You see, if you don't want to grow old, do young things. Keep company with the young people if you want to remain young. Some of you are getting too old fast because you are moving with old people. People that have no vision again. I say, well, you know, yes, better days are passing. Those good old days. No, I'm not in their class. I'm in the class of those who are looking forward, who are seeing opportunities, who are moving into something glorious. And I'm telling my body, you can't decay now. You cannot give way now. You just have to keep in shape because you must carry me a long distance. Now, when we were at this point, and God began to confront me with the reason why He wanted me to live, when He began to show me what He wants to make me, He began to speak very clearly. He began to give me clear word from God. You see, as at that time, there was no sign. I was completely faceless. I was totally spineless. And I have put on some weight now, you can see. You can imagine how tiny, like lead pencil, I used to be. Just like this. It will look as if when glue too much, I will just break. And I'll be moving in the midst of my classmates. And because I do not have any strong lamina, some of them decide to be bullies. Some will do their hand like this. Wah! And since I cannot withstand, I normally dodge them. So I will just move like this. But there was something in my heart of what God is going to make of my life. There's something that I have come to discover, have come to know it. Because I did not come from a family that believed. So if I came for Bible study or I came for a conference like this, I sponsored myself. I couldn't tell my father, who was not even a church goer. I couldn't tell him to give me money that I want to go for a conference. Which conference? So if I went for any meeting, it was at my expense. And of course, when I'm returning back, I am ready to face serious persecution. Where did you go? What kind of foolishness are you doing? What are you talking about? You want to make yourself useless? But you see, in my heart, I know that God is not planning to make me useless. I know God was not working for my disaster. deep down in me, something tells me I will make something out of your life. I will make you a new, sharp, threshing instrument having teeth. God gave me something that affected everything about me. It affected who I could marry. This is why I feel it's critical that if God will give me grace today, and the Holy Spirit will confirm something in your heart, you are not too young for God to put His eyes on you for something great. Are you hearing me? You are not too insignificant for God to start speaking about what He can make of your life. And I want to also say to you, it is not arrogant, neither is it pride, to believe what God is saying about you. Are we together? It is not arrogance, it's not pride, for you to believe, for you to take to heart, even for you to speak about what God is saying, I will make you. So even though I do not have an imposing personality, I do not possess a charismatic posture that can command people, and I do not come from a background where there is money and substance, I hardly had clothes with which to change. But all of those things, whatever I did not have that time, did not matter to me. What matters to me is what God says, I will make you. Are we together? What you have today, oh, may God give you understanding. Even if you fill the whole of your wardrobe with plenty clothes, as a young man, let me inform you, if you are growing, most of those clothes will not size you in 2 years. So why settle with something that in 2 years you will discard it? Why worry yourself about things that if you are growing, they will soon become a misfit because you have grown out of it? So I did not, and I did not, and I'm still not going to do that, I did not worry myself about what I don't have or about what I did have that time. What bothers me seriously is where I'm going. Where I was going with God was more important to me than where I was. Where I was, to me, was a passage. Where I was going, where I am going, became the most critical thing that I'm pushing. Sometimes when I meet people and they want to talk and say, Ragbile, hey, you are not serious. Hey, yeah. I say, yes. I may not be serious to you, but I'm serious. I'm serious about where I'm going. I'm serious. There are so many girls that I came across in my lifetime because somehow, I appear lovely. You see, I don't know why they love me. But I just realized that people, they would discuss me in their quarters. And they were discussing me one time. And a friend of mine, we were all together, wrote a note to a girl proposing friendship to her and sent me to go and deliver the letter. And as I delivered the letter, the girl was so excited that she did not read who signed the letter and fell in love with me direct and wrote me back and said, I have got what you have said and I am happy. Let's begin. You see the trouble? I was just to be a go-between. And the girl decided that it was me she was actually looking for. I said, no, is this or that? He said, no. It's not interesting that you are the one. I said, oh my God. If I did not know where I was going, I would have been buried in that girl. When I thought through it, I said, even though this girl would like me, if I settle here, my burial ground is not far away. And I told myself, no. And I summoned her. I said, thank you for your letter. You have replied to a wrong person. I did not, and even now I don't intend. I am going on a long journey. She said, where are you going? This is where all of us are. Where are you going? Where are you putting your eyes? Come down. You see, unless God gives you a vision for living, there are too many fire extinguishers. There are people whose journey is in the nearby. There are people who are satisfied where they are, and they have already decided to be dead, to bury themselves there. You don't keep company with them. If you are meant to be an eagle, you don't move with chickens. Did you hear me? If you are meant to be what? An eagle who will fly high. You don't eat with chicken. No matter how chicken try, he will normally end in the pot. I saw that because God said, I know the plans I have for you. It formed and formulated something in my heart. You know, at a time when all my age mates were peering up, this was here you meet my girlfriend. You know how terrible it is that I'm alone in their midst and I have nobody to point to. You know the peer pressure that troubled many of us. You know, sometimes you just know that it's not yet time for you to get engaged with anybody. But because all the sisters in your room, are you understanding? One of them said, here's my special brother. And they will put his photograph by their own bed. And another one, and you are four in the room, and only you have nobody to flash on your own bedside. It can be a pressure. You start praying for what is not necessary. And before you know it, they will sponsor others. They will whisper, they say, well, you know, my friend is feeling lonely. If you can come and befriend her, I will talk to her for you.
Don't let anybody who is going nowhere arrange
a husband for you.
Don't. What kept me going as I read the word of God? He said, I know the plans I have for you. I love reading it all the time. Because he said, plans for prosperity and not for disaster. Somehow in my heart I say, God did not plan disaster for me.
Something will come out of my life that will baffle my age mates. And for that reason, something began to happen. I remember that as I was doing that, wading through, I suddenly discovered that the discussion between my friends and my age mates and my classmates was usually off course for me. Why was it off course? Because it does not tally with the course God has set for my life. Cultivating a vision for living. No young man can penetrate all through the distractions of life if there is no strong vision that is propelling him, that is providing momentum for his journey in life. The distractions that come on the path of a young man is too much. The snares that the devil set before a young man is too much. I remember I had just got into the university and I joined the drama group of the fellowship. You know I'm a dramatist, as you see me. Eh? You see that? You see, I used to be in drama. And as soon as I joined the drama group, there was another, I met a sister there in the group of people who was welcoming me. And as soon as I came in, this sister she's just beautiful. If you are looking for beauty, she was one. And she just welcomed me and said, hello? You look nice. And she gave me a hand. I will not let my hand go. I held my hand and was dragging it up and down. And he will introduce me and say, here is my new couch. Me. A new couch. My God, am I a fish? When I heard that, I wanted to remove my hand from her hand. I said, no, I'm not a catch. You know, I deliberately came here. You didn't catch me. I was on a journey. I walked here. I thought I would join this drama group. It's not that you caught me. Nobody can catch me here. When I finish what I'm doing here, I will continue my journey. That thing looked like a joke. But I had to reassure myself. What is the reason for my living? Am I just going to end it here in a drama group? Before I know it, I discovered that there was a kind of arrangement of pairing up. And I reminded myself, you are going somewhere. You can't end it here. I know the plans I have for you. That, to me, I wanted to mark it as the beginning of a reason for living. If you have given your life to Jesus Christ, and if you have become committed to His word, listen to me. Many, many friends,
may forsake you because they think that you are now a fanatic. But let me tell you what God says. I know what I'm doing with you. I alone. When I read that scripture from that other version, I said, I alone know the plans that I have for you. I was excited. What was my excitement? That even if others don't know, it doesn't matter. Friends, even if people don't know and they say, Bragile is a waste, it doesn't matter. Ignorant people talking ignorant things, it doesn't bother me. He whom I'm walking with said, I know what I'm doing. Tell somebody that God knows what he's doing about me. He knows. He knows. So the first thing in cultivating a vision for living is to believe that God will not be wasting his time for my life. Hallelujah. And that what God wants to do with me is not a disaster. I'm never going to be a disaster. I kept reminding myself. I will never be a disaster. Because God, who plans and plans for my life, does not plan disaster. He plans that which is a future that is glorious, presentable, that people can talk about. So I realize that a vision for living must first of all be based on an implicit faith in what God is doing in your life. And honestly speaking, let me say to you, it is what God is doing in your life, it is what God is planning to do for you, it is what God is arranging to make you, that is the right vision for living. If it is not what God is planning and working and making you to become, it will just be an ordinary ambition. The difference between a mere human ambition is what I call human aspiration. But you see, a vision for living is not just a mere aspiration. It is what God himself. God is not aspiring. Hey, am I saying something to you? God is not an aspirant. You know why? Everything that will happen with God has already happened. Hey, do you understand what I'm talking about? Do you know that this thing that I am now in, God already spoke about it more than 30 something years. And he spoke about it as if it has already happened. So when God says, I know what I'm doing for you, let me inform you, nothing on earth can disorganize it. No demon, no principality can scatter it. In fact, when they do anything, they can only do everything they know how to do, thinking that they are damaging me, they are only advancing the purpose of God for me. So you see, a vision for living is more than an ordinary aspiration. It is to key into what God has planned for your life. And when you begin to believe what God has said he will do of you, and you begin to work at it, you already have a reason to live.
I want to tell you one more thing before I leave that point, because I just want you to mark this. I'm dealing with how to cultivate a vision for living. And I said the first thing you cultivate, the first step in cultivating it, is to believe. To believe in God, to believe in what He is doing and what He says He will make of your life. Period. I said I want to make one little more statement before I jump away from there. And it is that when God put His hand on a life, when God focuses on a man that He says, I'm working on, do you know what God said? He said, my plans will succeed. Can somebody read Isaiah 46 for me? Isaiah 46. What does God do? He declares the end. God speaks from ancient times. Things that are not yet done as if they are already done. Can you hear God? What did God say? My counsel shall do what? Stand. Yes. I will do what? I will do all my pleasure. My version says I will accomplish all my purpose. Go ahead. I've spoken it. And I'll bring it to pass. That's it. You see, why it becomes a vision for me, for my life, is that whatever it will take for God's plans over my life to become a reality, God has already planned to supply. Wherever all the resources, he said, he could even call a ravenous bird from a far country to come and carry out his plans. I have spoken it, and so will it be. So the first issue in cultivating a vision for living is to get first connected with God, whose plans never fails. Get connected with Jesus, whose purposes is as good as done. When it became clear to me the plans that God has for my life, and I became so certain, as I'm reading the Word of God, I became so certain and settled that what He says He will do, He will do it. And that there is nothing that can stop God from doing what He says He will do in my life and through my life. I have found nothing else to run after again. I am not beating about the bush. I am not gambling. I'm not, window shopping about. I know that He who has planned for me will execute His plans. Are we together? Praise the Lord. So when another sister came around, and, I don't know how we were talking, and I sense that this is a trap. Some ladies are traps. You are the one who called them Cecilia. I call them trap. They're just there to trap your life. And I'm looking. And I say, Lord, is this part of the plan? He said, no. It's not part of the plan. Do you know the man you are going to marry, sister? He's part of the plan. He's part of the plan. The woman that God is arranging for you is part of what? The plan. When it is time in the plan, she will show. And you will know that this is part of the plan. But let's return to that Jeremiah 29 and see the next point about cultivating. This, I just intend that I would use as a basic background for today, so that when I now take young men, I take their illustrations, what they did, that landed them in the glory in which we talk about them today, then I will have laid a foundation. So in Jeremiah 29, the two verses we have added, that verse 12 and verse 13, they are very, very critical passages which I want all of you to note. You see, he said, then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray to me, and I will hearken unto you. And you shall seek me, and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. Let me trouble the sister who carried message. Read that message for me again before I turn to good news or amplified Bible. Yes. Verse 12. Yeah. Yes. I will listen. Verse 13. When you come looking for me, you will find me. When you get serious about finding me, and you are wanting to find me more than anything else, I will make sure you won't be disappointed. Now, let's stop there. Brothers and sisters, am I communicating with you? Now, let me talk to you very frankly. Very frankly. This segment of your life is the appropriate time to do what we are talking about. It is the most appropriate time to do what we are still talking about. God said, I know what I plan for you because I'm going to give you a future that you hope for. But then, how will you key into that? How will you step into that? Such that by the grace of God, your future is already secured. Now, verse 12 and verse 13 says, then you shall do what? You shall seek me. You shall pray. And I will hear you. So I saw that one major thing to do in cultivating, developing, building a vision for living, which is not what you are just aspiring for,
It's what God has already planned and is ready to execute. So, what should we do? The first serious point to do is that you will do what? You will seek God. You will pray to me, and I will hear you. Let me tell you, the shortest way to miss your purpose in life is to be prayerless. Oh my God, are you hearing me at all? Brothers and sisters, are you hearing me? You see, I'm not calling you young men. No. You are ladies. You are men, ladies and gentlemen. But since you are brothers and sisters, I prefer to call you brothers and sisters. Because I'm not looking at you as if you are a toddler. I'm looking at you as men with capacity. The shortest way to miss your course in life is to be prayerless. You see, prayerlessness, I call it presumption. A prayerless man is a proud man. Why did I say he's a proud man? A prayerless man feels he knows how to handle his life by himself. So why does he need to spend time in prayer? He's proud and presumptuous. A prayerless man is a stupid man. Why did I say he's a stupid man? He's a man facing a future that he does not know as if he knows it. You see, when a brother asked a question yesterday about, is it a brother or a sister? They, supposing you get married to your wife, and after 1 or 2 years, your wife decided that she does not want to be a Christian again, or your husband decided that he's not a Christian again, what do you do? You see, I couldn't answer him the way I wanted. You know why? Do you know that marriage is a future? How many of you know that marriage is a future? It's a future. The sister you see today, do you know what she will be tomorrow? Eh? The young man that you see today that is preaching powerfully. Do you know whether he will become a drunkard tomorrow? You don't know. Only a stupid man approaches a future as if he knows it. So you see, to be a prayerless young man is to be stupid. Is to take a future for granted. Is to act as if you already possess the future. Anything that is not of your past, you don't know it. Do you know that in my little life, I have seen things that baffled me, that made me to thank God. And that's why, if I'm going to recommend anything to you about cultivating and building a vision for living, my first, strongest recommendation to you is that you are going to become prayerful. You are going to engage in a prayer life. A prayer life that
is not a mere ceremony. You know, as I was growing up, we were in the fellowship. And I was one of the fellowship leaders preaching the gospel. And I would lead brothers and sisters into the villages to go and preach. And part of these people that we have led to preach, we went somewhere and one of the sisters went and prayed for a woman that is terribly sick and she was healed. Some of the brothers went and saw a woman that died and they were just going to bury her. And they stood there and said, no, let's pray. And the woman woke. Now, if you see people that have done such great work, can you ever imagine that they will not be correct people to marry? People that are serious like that. And in one of those days, it's one of these sisters that are looking so nice, looking so prayerful. She comes to me and says, Brakwile, you know, the way God is putting something in her heart is that we should be praying every day between 12 and 1 o'clock so that, you know, the work we are doing among the villagers will really, really succeed. If I have a sister who would like to be praying with me every day, 12 to 1, is that not marriageable? Could I ever suspect that something would be wrong with such a sister? Somehow, I caught a vision, strange vision. I said, yes, that's the sister. If I had married her, I would have entered into the dungeon. You will never have met me. I don't know where I would have been. I may not have died. I may be one man with a big tummy somewhere, struggling with life. But what was it that God did to set me loose? It was prayer. Everything was urging me. Oh, go and talk to her. In fact, this is it. I said, this thing is too much. Let me pray. I was not going to pray just for one day. I said, let me just pray for the next few weeks. I was praying. At the end of 6 weeks of continuous praying, God just brought me into the Word of God one day. And He said, concerning that sister, set not your heart on things on the earth. I said, my God, you mean she's of the earth? He said, actually, she's not more than anything of the earth. If you follow her, you will enter the earth. Hey! How will I believe that? Tongue-talking sister. Do you know what I call tongue-talking? Sherry Baba Baba Shando Roboski Mama Mama. You know when we are praying those days, those sisters would say, Rakaraba Sanda Kerebo Sida Yada Karaka Rakaba Baba Baba. If you are looking at that, you'll be confused. All of such activities, they look nice, but they don't talk of a future. When God has delivered me, He now showed me the emptiness. She only graduated from the university, are you hearing me? And went for the youth service, you know, in Nigeria, when you graduate, you spend 1 year to serve the national government. and they are free to send you anywhere they like. And this sister that is fervent, that I thought prayerful, she dresses so holily when we were there. Less than 2 months, she was just coming back on campus for graduation. I hardly could recognize her. She has painted her lip. She has changed her hair too. Everything is mess. I think she has just poured oil on top of her. I said, you know, and she's smelling one kind. I said, my God. I wanted to greet her. But I said, are you still? He said, what are you doing, you know? You see, and when we were here, we were not civilized. I said, hey. So all the things we were learning from the Word of God, all the prayers we were praying, all the fasting and prayer we were doing, in 2 months, she has found a new lifestyle and she has changed. And she came back like a masquerade. Painted everywhere. My God. And the Holy Spirit reminded me, did you not see? I don't know her whereabouts. And you know, I travel a lot preaching from one fellowship to another, from one church to another, from one conference to another. Every conference I've gone, I'm looking whether I will jam her, that she will be in the fellowship. No. I send people everywhere, look for her, so that at least I can even see whether she's going to heaven or not. They say, well, bro, when we saw her, she has left heaven. Hey! And you know, marriage is for life. The death do us part. If she managed to put that ring in my hand, where can I go again? I will have been a catch. Now, if you are going to cultivate a vision for living, you cannot afford to be prayerless. Why must a young man pray? It's because the future that is ahead of you is unknown to you. Old men may even afford not to pray because they have experience. They have a past history that they can look back to. They can come and be telling of what they have done. But for me, young man, what do I have behind me? I have no history yet. All I have is a future that I don't know. But God said, I know it. So the God that knows my future, that knows the end from the beginning, what should I do? I should connect with Him. I should connect with Him with all my strength. I should connect with Him with all my spirit. I should connect with Him with all that lies within me. Because once I'm properly connected with Him, I know the plans He has for me. I will get into it. Let me worry you again. I would like you to read now verse 13 again. Please. Read verse 13 again from Message. Read it again. When you come looking for me, you will find me. When you get serious, wait. How many of you are serious? Who is serious here about finding God? Thank you. I'm happy. I believe you. I really believe you. I believe you are serious. I believe you are not serious, you won't come here. I believe that we are not gathering on serious people. You can see that some of you will say, this is not a youth meeting. Because, you know, the normal youth meeting is you go for. Nothing serious. They are not helping you to seriously pursue a future. They are treating you as if you are still a minor. They are not engaging your capacity. They think playing football, doing a disco night and dancing and just doing something, they call that Christian youth conference. They are not serious with you. They don't know that you are already dealing with serious issues than all those play things. They don't know that some of you are already at the point of taking serious decisions that will affect your destiny. They only bring you here to entertain you, and somebody just say, as I say, what's the meaning of that? You know, I've gone for all sorts of youth conferences. They are treating you as if you are toddlers. You are not a toddler. You are a woman of destiny already. The point you are now, nobody should treat you as if you are a child. It's only a child you give toys. You are at a critical point. 5 years now, you should be a manager. How can somebody be treating you as if you are still playing? You are not. See what God is saying there. Start again that verse 13. When you come looking for me, you will find me. When you get serious about finding me, you see, that's the point. That's the point at which many, many young people miss it. Let me tell you this. Sit down. God is free, but not cheap. I don't know whether you hear me. What did I say? God is free, but not cheap. The grace of God is free. But grace is not for the careless. God is not for the casual. Those that are casual, they won't find God. Those that are careless, they won't touch the mystery of Christ. Those that are frivolous, who are superficial, God can never throw his pearls to them. Why is God confronting you? It's because those who find God and they have made great progress with God, something has happened to them. God was their priority. They sought for Him with such intensity as though they could not do otherwise. But when you seek me, as if there is nothing else you need in life apart from me, then you will find me. I realize, and I'm talking to you now, because I'm going to come back in the night to draw these issues I'm going to tie what I'm saying at this point. Because God is not cheap. Even though God is available, but God does not make himself available to those who really, really don't need him. Those who wanted God as a toy, they will never know. Those who want God as an addendum, something you add just to show that you are religious, God does not take you serious. Said, when you get serious about finding me, when you get serious as if there's nothing else, then I will make sure you are not disappointed. Cultivating a vision for living. Because that vision for living is what God has already planned that he wants you to work into. That's why you were born, actually. That's why he did not allow you to die. That's why he's been providing. That's why you are going to school. That's why God is exposing you to all of that. Because he has a plan. But for you to key into that plan, you must get serious about finding him. Being serious about finding God, I realize that even in my own pursuit of God, in my own little pursuit of God, and I say little because as I look at how much of God I'm yet to discover, what I've known of him is so small. I have read Bible over and over and over again, but all the time I am still struggling with the Bible that is so new to me. Sometimes I say, God, You mean this is still there? I say yes. The layer at which you met me before was the layer at which you are willing to meet me. If you dig deeper now, you'll find me again. I want to stop on this. Who is serious? Who is serious? Thank you. Thank you. You see, this matter will set your life. I wish I'm able to tell you something that is ringing in my heart. I want you to know that you are no more a child. Is that all right? And I want you to know, this is not to make you arrogant at all, that in the scheme of divine arrangement, you are at the prime of place. You are the one that has a future that God is interested in. You are the one. You cannot understand me. I am not concerned so much about those who have divorced 20 times. Leave them. Get him around and say, he wants to marry again. Let him talk to you. You will know that he himself knows that he has spoiled something that is irretrievable. Can't go anywhere. But for you, You have a future. Intact. Glorious. Wonderful. Powerful future. That God Himself is committed to. Get serious. Get serious about your pursuit of God. I've not... Yesterday I dealt with the question of sin. I dealt with sexual sin, sexual immorality. I dealt with desire to buy things and all of that. I was dealing with it at that level. But can I tell you? Do you know that if a young man come to you as a sister, and the first thing he wanted to do is to sleep with you, if you are a girl that is reasonable, you will have asked him. You will just sit in and say, excuse me, stop. Am I a thought? If something is pushing you, if you cannot control your own sexuality, am I a dumping girl? Did you think I'm waiting for a careless man like you? Please pack yourself and get away from me. You see, let me tell you, sin is unreasonable. To a man that has a journey to go with God, sin is unreasonable. Do you know that a boy will sleep with you 20 minutes and for 20 years you have not recovered? 20 years! If it became a pregnancy, for 20 years that baby will be hanging around you. He will go to school. He will dress up and wear his tie as if he will move up and down. You like this, your stomach is bulging. Your breast distends. Your shape changes. Immediately. You want to read. The baby is crying. Yeah. Okay. You have to dance for the baby. You dance for a baby. A fatherless baby. Ah! How can you do that? Look at all the girls that at their age, at this level, they made that mistake. Have they recovered? Where are they gone? They can't go anywhere. Somebody deposited a useless thing into their body. And for 20 years, they are crippled. No. For a woman that has a direction in life, you don't take me for granted. And that's why you don't make your face in a way that they think you don't know where you are going. If a young man is coming to ask for your hand in marriage, we are asking you, what are you doing with your life that you want me to contribute all that God has put in my life into? And I just like you. For what? You see, listen. You are already God's object of love. God plans, great plan for you. You are not loveless. You're not looking for that careless that I love you. For what? With what does he love you? With an empty life? With a dirty character? No. Get serious about pursuing God. You see, when you pursue God, then the future that you don't know about becomes clear. Because he who knows the future, he who knows the end from the beginning, is the one you have now connected with, everything will be alright. We stop on this. We stop on this now. And I will ask you, did you understand what we have said this morning? Eh? You see, if I don't see you again, I hope to see you in 10 years. And I don't hope to see you as a dropout. Apart from the fact that I'm trusting God that I will see you in heaven. But I also want to see you in life. Are you hearing me? I want to see you where? In life, doing well. If you begin to pursue God with a prayer life, you won't make mistakes. A praying man is a threat to the devil. And ever before the devil takes you a prey, the first thing he has dismantled in your life is your prayer life. Whenever you see any man that has become useless, the first thing the devil took from him is what? Is his prayer life. His prayer life. Once your prayer life has been disconnected, you are isolated for slaughter. Young men, young women, let's talk together. When you get serious about finding me, God said, and you cannot do without finding me, then I will make sure you are not disappointed. I think that is okay. And Jesus stands in our midst this morning. And he says, I know the plan I have for you. Plans for good, plans for prosperity, and not for disaster. Plans to give you a future and a hope that you are longing for. How do you get into it? You will seek me. You will pray to me. Then you will seek me with all your heart. You will get serious about me. Then everything gets settled in your life. Stand up as we pray together. Stand up as we pray together. Cultivating a vision for living. Whatever that will mean, I want you to deliberately today say, Lord, I'm serious. And I want to see those who are serious this morning. You say, God, enough of joking. Enough of playing Christianity. Enough of running about. I want to know you. What you want to make me, I am also interested in it. Where you want to carry me, there I also want to go. What you are saying I can become, that I also want to be. This morning, Father, I am serious. Open your mouth and just tell God the way you like. You can tell him in your local language, you can tell him in English, any way you want. I want you to engage God now. Say, God, I'm hearing you. How old are you today? If you are 20, if you are 21, if you are 18, if you are 19, if you are 23, if you are 24, if you are 25, even if you are 30, whatever age you are, I want you to take that age now and step on it and say, God, I am 23 today, which means I have spent 23 years. Whatever that 23 years is, thank you. Thank you, it has brought me to where I am. It has made me who I was. I have made mistakes in 23 years, but no more. Let's put a punctuation mark
You are going to draw a line today. The years past is enough to be childish, to be careless. Now, oh God, put a punctuation mark on my life from now. And from today, the future you plan for me, I want to key into it. Start to pray your prayer. I'm not praying for you yet. You must pray for yourself. Thank you, Jesus. Oh God, oh God. Oh God. Mekoko sundaramash. Miskatareke shomborokoski. Landaraku sada yabarosh. Serious now. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. This morning, Lord, take your life. Take your space, Lord. Take your space, Lord. Take your space, Lord. From this meeting. From this meeting. Put a punctuation mark. The time I've spent roaming about is enough. I want to get serious with God. Serious with His will. Serious with His plan for my life. Serious for His, with His plan for my life. I want to pursue this with all my strength. From this meeting, oh God. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I need you every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like that can peace afford. I need you every hour. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come today. I need thee. Oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me. Bless me. Now my Savior, I come unto thee. One more time, I need thee. Every hour.
Every hour I need.
You will restore my prayer life from today.
Oh,
bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. I need thee, Lord.
I need thee.
Every hour.
Every hour. I need
every hour.
Bless me now,
my Savior.
My Savior,
I come to
you.
Do that song just one more time before I conclude in prayer.
I need.
Thank you, Jesus.
I need
you every hour.
Thank you, Jesus. Oh, bless me now,
My Savior,
I come.